You're listening to Market the Brew, a leading resource for promoting and marketing craft beer. Join in as we share with you, straight from the source, tools and strategies craft brewers from around the country are using right now to achieve significant success.
Join us in learning how this owner took an old Hallmark store and turned it into a small-town brewery. Listen in to how Katie, with the help from her head brewer, Jay, have dedicated themselves to growing the craft beer community in Creston, Iowa. Now grab your favorite beer, sit back, relax, and listen to Travis and Danielle talk with Katie from Hot Air Brewing.
Good morning, Katie. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm awesome. How are both of you?
Good. We're excited to chat with you. Yeah. We first saw Hot Air Brewing on Instagram. It came up through our feed and I fell in love with your logo. It was awesome. Just so unique and cute. And we started following you guys and kind of seeing what you guys were up to. And it looks like you're having fun over there.
We are having a lot of fun. It's a good time.
So can you tell us, where is your brewery located?
So it is about an hour southwest of Des Moines.
Okay. And yep. How did you get into the brewing scene?
So my then ex-husband and I, everything's very amicable, no worries, not awkward. We used to go to breweries and we'd take our daughter and we'd just have a couple beers during the day, which was kind of revolutionary for us because we both grew up in small towns where drinking was kind of like, oh, hush, hush, you don't want to have a drink in front of anyone, you know. And fortunately, breweries have really changed that culture and made it kind of a shame-free activity. And so that was kind of what we kind of would do that on the weekends. Then we lived in Ames, Iowa, where Iowa State's located. And then we lived in Grand Forks, North Dakota for a couple years. I was working at the University of North Dakota. So breweries for us were just a way to relax and bring our kid and let her kind of run around respectfully. And and so we thought it would be really cool if Creston had a space like that. So when we were in the position to do that, we did.
That is awesome. I know as we go to more breweries, we see how family oriented they are. And it just is such a welcoming area and community. So it's really great that you brought that to your city.
Yeah. Thanks.
So how did you choose the name for your brewery?
It's got a couple of different connotations. So the main reason was we have a hot air balloon festival every September in Creston. And I grew up here. One of the highlights of my year, there was always a parade. So when I was a kid, the candy was awesome. And then they would do a pet show out at the airport, which is where the balloons would take off and land. And they would do a night glow. So the balloons at night at dusk would kind of blow their flames and light up all the balloons. And it was just beautiful and really cool. And I had such great memories of that. So I wanted to have something tied to tradition for the name. And then also, it can be really easy in small towns to feel like you don't have a ton of support or like things can be really hard. And we really want people to feel lifted up when they come here. We want them to feel like they can really live that motto of we rise by lifting others and we can celebrate each other's successes. And we're really still trying to help people do that. And so lifting each other up was what we really wanted to convey with our name and our logo.
I love that. I didn't expect that answer either, which is like mind blowing. I love that.
So how long has Hot Air been in business?
We just celebrated our 2-year anniversary on February 26th. So okay. Just over 2 years.
Nice.
Opened right in the middle of COVID and it was rough and it's still rough.
Yeah.
But we got to keep it going because it means a lot to a lot of people.
Right. And then how many barrels do you guys produce per year, for say?
Well, we don't produce nearly the capacity that we could. Okay. We have a 7-barrel brew house. So our first year, we did just under 100 barrels. And our second year, we did about 130. Our goal is to do 300, and we're really going to ramp up our distribution, okay. Which some of your later questions in this one. But
yeah,
we're really hoping to ramp up distribution and hit that 300-barrel mark this year.
Yeah, that was literally going to be my next question. So for distribution, you guys just do self out of like your own, or do you have work with somebody?
now. We really hesitate to use a distributor, both for the financial reasons and because we don't think anybody can promote our brand as good as we can. So obviously they're promoting a bunch of different people. So we've actually just have tweaked our sales strategy where Rachel, who was doing our sales, she's going to be managing our tap room now. So as soon as the school year is out, I teach. So as soon as the school year is out, I'm going to be doing sales mostly in Des Moines, maybe in a little in Eastern Iowa and Iowa City. We've had our beer on tap in several places there before. So we're going to be, I'm going to be on the road all summer and it's going to be awesome. And our beer is going to be everywhere in Iowa. We're going to build that brand. So we're excited.
It's kind of funny you mentioned being a teacher. I'm also a teacher. And as we've been interviewing and talking to different breweries, there are so many teachers in brewing and in the beer scene. And it's amazing to see how connected we all get.
Oh yeah. Our brewer was an English teacher for a long time before he did other careers, homebrewing the whole time, of course. So if you ever read his descriptions in our Instagram posts and get a chuckle, that's where that comes from.
It's an unforeseen job that he probably didn't expect to have, but now his background just makes him incredible at it.
He's pretty awesome.
So when did you set an opening day for your brewery? And did you meet that opening date? We've talked to a lot of breweries that are just new to the scene or opening, and they kind of talk about some of the things that go really well and some of the unforeseen circumstances.
Yeah. it's pretty because we decided to open the brewery in the summer of 2019, and our goal was to be open by the summer of 2021. So we gave ourselves 2 years. We didn't really have any delusions about it. Part of my background is also higher education and academic research and everything. So I was in researcher mode that whole summer of 2019 and talking to brewers and brewery owners and just visiting breweries the whole summer. It was pretty amazing. But we didn't have any unrealistic expectations that we'd be able to open in a few months and have a good product. So we gave ourselves 2 years. And even though COVID hit in the middle of all of that, we still opened four or five months ahead of schedule just because we couldn't hemorrhage money anymore. We had to, get things sold. So I think that's pretty unique and a little ironic that we were able to do that with everything going on. But we busted our butts.
And did you have a business background or a brewing background, or did you kind of become self-taught?
Well, I have an MBA, and I got that back in 2010. And at that time, I was working in a financial institution, and then I worked in higher ed. But my family have been small business owners. My dad owned the bowling alley here in Creston when I was growing up. So I kind of knew what it looked like to run a small business in a small town. I knew that the hours were crazy. I knew that my kids would, I have one daughter and I knew that she would be here all the time. I won't be surprised if she runs in and starts yelling. Apologies in advance for that. So I knew that that was going to be part of it. And then my grandfather owned a couple different bowling alleys. My aunt and uncle own a bowling alley in Western Iowa. So small business is something that I was familiar with and kind of knew what it entailed. So, and then I kind of matched that life experience with some education and kind of ran with it. So I still make a lot of mistakes that I shouldn't. Like, I know better and I still do it. I think we all do that, unfortunately. But
yeah,
it's definitely constant learning.
And when I first started doing this and going to breweries, I would just think of the beer. Like, I wouldn't think about the business side, the laws that in place, the distribution expectations. And there's just so many pieces where when I would go into a brewery and have two beers, I'd be like, oh, this would be fun. I can do this. And then when I hear brewers talk, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what I get myself into.
It's a lot for sure. I'm really fortunate that the brewing and managing the production and ingredients and all of that, our brewer does phenomenally. And I really just have to pay for things and he just takes care of it. He's super detail oriented and scientific, and he's got his brews planned out months in advance. And And I don't have to worry about any of that. So I really worry about marketing and social media and managing all the financials and working in the tap room a few times a week to stay energized and be able to talk to people and things like that. So I'm super lucky as an owner to have a brewer that I can trust completely and a tap room manager that I can trust completely.
Yes.
So that I can focus on the boring stuff like reporting the ABD and all that fun stuff, TTD, yes. All that.
Well, and how cool that you get to be in the brewery and get to see your guests, get to see your customers, get to see your community. How do you feel the community has really embraced hot air brewing?
Embraced it wholeheartedly. We knew that it would be a little bit of an uphill battle because we're in the thick of Busch Light country. And that's fine. I mean, it's a comfort beer for so many people, mm-hmm. including my dad, my brothers, sometimes even me on a hot day in the summer in the garage. But Creston and many small towns are kind of slow to embrace change and slow to embrace new mm-hmm. offerings and ideas and policies and progress. And so we knew that people who had been to breweries, which they run the gamut of age and gender and everything, would embrace us and would be here and would really love it. And we knew that hopefully we'd get more people in the door when they saw what an open and light and bright family-friendly environment we have. And we're still working on some of that. I think people are still kind of hesitant to drink in the day and not feel that shame. And we're really trying to get away from that. We're trying to help people understand you can have a couple beers and you don't have to get wasted every time you drink.
Yes.
You don't have to drink to feel pretty. You can have a couple beers, enjoy the taste of them, and then go yes. home and go about your day. So mm-hmm. we're still working on cultural shifts for sure.
Yeah, being in Milwaukee, we're home of Miller.
Yeah.
So, but as Milwaukee has grown, so has the beer scene. So it's a big city. We have a ton of breweries. So craft beer is really growing here, but we can totally understand and relate to the Busch versus the Miller and just people kind of breaking those habits.
Yep.
And then when customers come in, what can they expect? Like what type of food? Do you have any food? Do you do flights? Are you dog friendly? Are you family friendly? So what can they expect when they come in?
So we have 13 beers on tap. Usually we have 12 beers and a cider that's made about an hour and a half east of us in Iowa. But right now we have enough beer to have 13 of our beers on tap. And we have a huge variety. That's something that I think me and our brewer Jay and our taproom manager Rachel, I think we're most proud of the variety of beer that we have. So as long as you are kind of open to trying something, we have something that you will like. We've got dark beers, stouts, we've got caramely beers, we've got hoppy beers, we've got lagers. That's what I tend to go for. And then if you're not a beer person and you have no plans to be, we offer three different flavors of mimosas. We have sugar-free, wow. caffeine-free soda for the kids. We recently released a couple of sparkling hop teas. So one of them is caffeine-free, one of them isn't, and they're sugar-free, gluten-free, alcohol-free, calorie-free. They're really refreshing and delicious, and we bottle those, and we only sell those in-house because we don't have labels or anything for them. So, but that's something we're excited to offer more of, is non-alcoholic options, because we want people to be able to come in and have fun and be able to have something special to drink, even if it doesn't have alcohol in it. So that's what you can expect. We're very family friendly. That whole area, kind of, let me see if you can see it, to the back. In our back area, where the tent is, that's our festival tent, and we're just tired of putting it up and down to the kids' area, and it makes them feel kind of cocooned. And so we've got that table back there. It has a bunch of toys inside of it and games. And we actually are dog friendly now that we don't serve food. We did serve food for our first year-ish. Okay. We were doing, we made a killer Cuban. It was a lot of fun, but it was just too hard to manage inventory. And with the prices of everything going up, it was kind of, we're just going to encourage people to patronize other businesses because we're in our uptown area. We've got three restaurants within two blocks. So mm-hmm. we just encourage people to order pizza or wings or whatever they want and bring it in. And that seems to work pretty well. We are doing tacos. We're partnering with a local Mexican restaurant called Una Mas. And every other Tuesday, they come to our weekly trivia and sell tacos and tortas, tostadas, all kinds of fun stuff. And then on opposite days, we have a local woman who has a cookie business. And so she sells her cookies. So at our trivia nights, which is every Tuesday, we've got a pretty loyal regular crowd, and now they can get tacos every other week and cookies on opposite weeks. So nice. We're doing that.
That's fun. Yeah. It really is something for everybody.
For sure.
So I was reading an article that said your brewery has an apartment attached or an apartment near the brewery.
Yeah.
What is the story about the apartment? Because it sounds like the coolest Airbnb.
It would be. Unfortunately, it's where I live, so I'm not going to be. So my ex-husband and I, we cohabitate and we raise our daughter together. And so we were married when we opened the brewery, and we bought the whole building. We have 6 income apartments up on the top level.
Then
we use about 2/3 of the main floor as the tap room. We use the entire basement for the brewery. And then the other 1/3 of the main floor, we converted into our family home, our apartment, we call it.
We've got three
baths, a really cool kitchen. So this used to be a Hallmark store, this building did, and it went all the way back. And there was a mezzanine level, kind of about 1,000 square feet. And that's where they would have all the wedding dresses. So when people come in, and I try to explain to them what our apartment is, it's like, okay, our bedrooms are where the wedding stuff was back in the day. So we've got this mezzanine, and then we have the 16-foot ceilings in our living room too, which is really cool. And I'm going to open it up as an open house eventually, just to show people what you can do and that you can get creative and you can kind of have a city loft living experience in a small town. You just have to plan it out and do it. So we did that because financially that was the only way we could make it work. We had to live where we are. We needed that income stream from our tenants. And to be able to just come through a door and take care of something at the brewery or go in and throw in a little laundry on a Sunday when we're slow, that has been huge. And we knew we'd never get away from it. It wasn't something I had any delusions about, that I would be able to not think about my business all the time anyway. So I might as well live here and be close and be able to do some of that stuff on the spot without having to get up and drive and all that stuff. And if I have one too many, I just go 20 feet and crash on my couch. Pretty awesome.
That is so cool. Yeah. It's cool. Like talking to different breweries and seeing what kind of space they started with and how they transformed it into their brewery. Like when I first saw the article, I was picturing like Airbnbs like above the brewery and, but how cool that you can live where you work. It's so convenient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have 6 apartments. So we have 6 tenants who all get to be on top of a brewery basically. And I think they really enjoy that too.
I mean, yeah. That'd be the dream.
That would be the dream. Like you said, all you have to do is just, once you have one too many, just walk right upstairs.
Be awesome.
Hopefully more breweries listening will get on that. That's a great marketing strategy.
So what was one of the hardest parts of opening your own brewery, and would you do anything differently?
The only way I could have done anything differently is if we didn't have a pandemic. It was really rough because we had all of our projections and we had signed some contracts and we were ready to go, ready to start our build out. And then COVID hit. And so that completely changed almost everything. It changed our occupancy. It changed the way we were going to have some of the work done. A couple of our contractors either had COVID or had family members who had really severe COVID. So that kind of delayed our build out several months. And then of course, with between labor shortages and supply chain and just the cost of everything going up because people felt that they could raise the cost and would have an excuse and no one would blame them, which is, don't even get me started. But we went so far over our initial budget, it's been really hard to make up that ground. And then, of course, opening in the middle of COVID, we were masked at first. And I think we were pretty diligent about masking until the vaccine was released. Until most people were vaccinated, and then we were kind of more lax, but we always let people make their own decision because we were masking, so we were protecting ourselves anyway. So, but it was just hard to, because people still aren't back into the habit of leaving their house. And people can tend to be a little insular anyway. And then when you throw that 3 years of trying to stay away from people, it's been hard to get people back in the habit of, oh, what's going on in our community? How, what can we get out and do this weekend? Whether it's at the brewery or anywhere else that's having events, it's still, we're training our brains. So hopefully within the next couple of years, people get back into the swing of, how do I be active in my community this weekend, and what's going on that I can go and have fun and experience something different. So
yes,
it's been rough, for sure.
Well, one of the things that really caught my eye on the Hot Air page and just through reading was your head brewer. He just seems like such a great time and he has great energy. Who is Jay Wilson?
You know what's funny? He jokingly told me to make sure I talked about how fabulous our head brewer is. Yes, I'll make sure to tell them how humble you are too. Jay's a trip. So Jay, when I first had the idea for the brewery, Jay was working as the executive director of the Iowa Brewers Guild. And so that's the kind of central repository for brewery legislative lobbying and things like that in Iowa. Most states have a Brewers Guild. And so he was leading that. He was growing our Iowa Craft Beer Festival. That was something that he really just took and ran with when he became executive director. And so that festival exploded and is still a fantastic festival to go to in Des Moines. It's June 3rd, I believe, this year. So the first Saturday in June is this year. But he's had a little bit of a renaissance man. I'm going to try not to talk about too much because his head's going to get too big. He was a high school English teacher for a while. He and his wife, Michelle, she's a yoga practitioner. She's a fabulous, lovely human. Also, he taught on a Navajo reservation in Arizona for many years. Then they moved to North Carolina and they worked in a group home for youth who were trying to get their lives together. And then he started working in brewery sales. So I don't remember the name of the brewery in North Carolina that he was working for, but he was working in sales and helping them grow their distribution. And so that's some of the experience that he has. He's also an author. I think he's written 4 books. Wow. And the first one was Diary of a Part-Time Monk, which is kind of a play on Sherman Alexie's Diary of a Part-Time Indian book. But he brewed a Doppelbock with his friend Eric. It's called Illuminator. We have it on tap now. This is back in 2011. And so he decided he wanted to try to live like a monk during Lent. And for 46 days of Lent, all he consumed was his Doppelbock. So, yeah. So then he wrote a book about it and he was on NPR. And so a lot of times people who have been kind of in the beer scene or paid attention to craft beer for a while, when I say, oh yeah, he drank beer during Lent and was on NPR, they're like, oh my God, I heard that interview. And so it's cool to have that, as part of our story. And so he hadn't brewed that for a while. And now then his friend, Eric Sorensen, who's a brewer and has his own brewery and restaurant called the Grange Public House in Mount Pleasant, a couple hours east of here. He was here in January and they just had a great time brewing the Doppelbock and shooting the breeze. And so hopefully we've got some of it aging in a bourbon barrel and we're going to submit it and hopefully get a medal at a festival of barrel-aged beers in Chicago in November. So that's the goal. Crossing our fingers. It's a fantastic beer. It's so delicious.
Well, I feel like beer is always better too when it has a cool story. I mean, that's incredible to hear how it started and how it's become part of your brewery now, how many years later? Like, what is it? Yeah. I mean, that's awesome though. So you mentioned the Iowa Craft Beer Festival. We've seen a lot of people in Iowa, different beerfluencers at the festival, and it looks huge and it looks like just a fun party. So you said Jay kind of began that festival. He kind of started that or was part of it.
I can't remember if he started it. I'm sure he'll correct me on Monday after I ask him. But I know he grew it exponentially. I think he either started it or it was in its infancy when he started taking it over, and it's just exploded. And I think they had over 80 different breweries there last year. And I know they've had more than that in the past, and a couple of breweries have closed in the state due to COVID or production or whatever. But it is such a good time. And it's at Waterworks Park, which is a grassy area, and there's a live music venue there, and it's right by the river, and the breeze coming off the river can be really nice. It can also flood, which has happened a couple times, but not in the past couple years. But it's just a really cool event, and they do a VIP session for the first hour. VIP tickets are already sold out. And so people come in, and sometimes breweries will have a special VIP release that they release at noon, and then other things they release throughout the day. And it's just a really cool way to try numerous beers from so many different breweries and listen to live music and have a good time. Highly recommend.
That does sound like a good time. Yeah. And you said we might have to
put it on the list.
So you said the VIP tickets already sold out. Will the general admission also sell out too? Like, is it a pretty big event?
They have several thousand tickets, I think. Last year, I don't think it sold out completely, but I think it will this year just because we're another year past COVID and people are, mm-hmm. And I think I'm trying to remember, one year it was the same weekend as Hinterland, and that was kind of a smaller attendance just because the crowd overlaps quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Hinterland's a big music festival in St. Charles that brings in some really good band artists. But this year it's back at the beginning of June and should hopefully it won't be too hot and it should be perfect. So I wouldn't be surprised if they sell out. So get those tickets now for sure.
So we talked about the struggle when you first opened. What has been your favorite moment of hot air brewing since you opened?
Oh, I have many favorite moments. There are these nights when everything just kind of converges to be beautiful. We'll have live music. We'll have people who are trying new beers and liking them. We'll have Busch Light drinkers who discover they love an oatmeal stout. And it just makes me so happy because it's a safe way for people to try something new and still kind of feel like they can risk something without anything bad happening. And it sounds obvious. It's just beer. But it's surprising how people get really connected to the beer that they drink, even if it's their comfort beer, it's their Busch Light, it's their PBR. And it can be hard for people to step outside of that. So when people come in and they try a few of our beers and they end up loving it and then craving it and coming back and it's their regular beer, it's just so magical. And when you pair that with either our trivia or live music or an event that we hold out on the street, it's just been really, really cool. And I've met so many new people in the past 2 years. I have so many more dear friends, and it's been really, really awesome.
Do you guys have any events coming up that you want like the listeners to know about?
Of course, we always have events. So April is full of events. April 1st, we have Swords in the Streets. So our friend Dan, he lives about 10 miles east of here. He works in Des Moines, and he is part of this group called the Band of Iron Lions. And he came into the brewery one night and was talking to us about it. And they are, it's like super intense, amazing, educated LARPers. So they live action role play, but they use real weapons. They get SEAL certified. They have authentic armor. They create these personas for themselves. So Dan's persona is Sir Daniel Lestrange. And I think he's a friend. And then we've got Scottish knights and German knights, and they all are trying to be authentic to the time period that their persona comes from. So we block our street off for this event, and they put up their yurt where they put on their armor or their padding or whatever they're putting on, depending on their persona. And then they've got their racks of weapons here, and we're going to have a food truck, and it's just going to be crazy. It's going to be awesome. So that's happening April 1st from 1 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And then we have open mic night that night also. And then April 15th, we have our hot air spring ball. So I don't know if Rocky Mountain oysters are a big thing in Wisconsin, but in Iowa, we really like to eat fried testicles. Super fun. so we hit up our local veterinarians and take a big bag of balls off of their hands, and we have our spring ball. So we eat Rocky Mountain oysters, other balls. food, and it's super fun. So hopefully the weather's for that. That's April 15th. And then April 23rd, we are having our drag brunch and bingo. Iowa Drag Brunch comes here, and they cater a brunch, and they have three performers who alternate between musical performances and calling bingo. And every performance is different because you know how drag queens just make jokes on the spot based on their audience. It's so much fun. So that's our first drag show of the year. We will have a couple more throughout the year. They're 21 plus, so no kids are being harmed in the making of these drag shows. seriously. But yeah, we try to have something for everyone. We try to have the Southern Iowa Republican women are hosting an American history trivia on April 13th. So that's happening also. And then 2 weeks later, we have a drag show. So we really just want people to come here and commune with their people and have good beer and just be part of something regardless of what their ideologies are, and hopefully they're not horrible people, and we really try to avoid having horrible people in the brewery. So that those are the only people who aren't really welcome, the ones who have a process full of hate. We don't really, you're the only ones we don't really want in the door. Everybody else, regardless of your beliefs, get in here. We want to share beer with you.
Right.
Yes. And that's awesome that you can have a space like that in your community for anyone and everyone to gather.
Yes, it's amazing.
So I think we kind of asked all of our questions and you gave us such great answers. I feel like we really got to know you and your business. What is next for Hot Air Brewing?
We want to grow. We're kind of in the spot where we either need to really, really grow or consider like scaling down, and we really don't want to do that. So we want to get our beer out into Central Iowa as much as we can. We're close to the border of Missouri. We're not too far from Nebraska. So if we needed to look at some out-of-state sales, we could do that. But we really want to promote a couple of our beers and get those recognized as really delicious, amazing beers, and then get more offerings kind of gradually into the market. So we have our beer on at Porter Mill, which is the restaurant in the Des Moines airport, which does a lot of business. People drink a lot of beer in airports. And they've had our Saison, it's called Microphone Stars. They've had that on for the last 6 months, and they're going to continue carrying that. And they're also picking up our coffee porter. It's called Juliet Oscar Echo, or Joe for short. So we're going to really start promoting Joe, and then also our Pilsner. It's called Canary in a Coal Mine. It's super refreshing, really crisp. It's our staff beer. We love it, and we think it'll do really well in markets outside of Creston, where people can appreciate an amazing German Pilsner. So we're going to focus on those two beers, get those as saturated into the market as we can, just to get our name out there and become well known for having really good beer, because we do. Jay is an amazing brewer. He's been brewing for 25 years. He's a certified beer judge, and just really knows flavor profiles and how to alter beer to make it better. And so we're going to get our beer out there, build our name, build the reputation for quality, and hopefully get more people in our tap room as a result of that. Because we want, ultimately, the reason I opened this place was to drive business and dollars into this community to keep it thriving and to kind of revitalize it a little bit. Small towns in general, they can kind of start to die when kids move away, they don't move back, if an industry has to close, and all of that has happened in Creston, and we don't want it to get worse, we want it to get better. So ultimately my goal has been to build a brand outside of Creston to make Creston known for something and have people come to Creston and see our amazing public art. We've got over 30 murals within a 4-block radius of the brewery, so people can come down, they can grab a beer, they can't take it outside unfortunately, but they can walk around, see just some amazing art by internationally renowned artists and local students. It's really, really cool. And then they can come back and have a conversation with me or whoever's beer tending that day and just learn more about our community and more about the people who live here, because we're awesome. There are a lot of really cool people. So that's the goal. The goal is to get more dollars in this community, revitalize it, and share that success with everybody, because we rise by lifting others. Come on, let's say it again.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for meeting with us today. It was cool to get to know Hot Air Brewing and get to know you
and Jay.
And Jay. Gotta meet Jay.
Oh, yeah. He's fun.
Well, thank you so much for getting together with us and telling us about Hot Air. hopefully sometime we're in Iowa, we get to stop by. Absolutely. And we see a lot of beer influencers posting about being at Hot Air Brewing. So hopefully we can make a stop and see you.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Well, thank you.
If nothing else, come and find us there. We'll be there.
Yes. For thank sure. you so much.
Bye.
You're welcome. Have a bye.
We've reached the end of this episode, but there's plenty more to keep you busy. For online source materials and proven case studies delivered right to your inbox, sign up for our mailing list by visiting marketthebrew.com. We'll see you next time on Market the Brew.